Harmful algae blooms happen regularly in lakes and ponds across Kansas, but it hasn't always been this way, and health officials only know the basics about what's causing them. As Brian Grimmett from the Kansas News Service reports, researchers at the University of Kansas are trying to unravel the mystery by growing their own algae.
7 years ago, a toxic form of algae bloomed in Milford Lake near Junction City. Kansas had never really seen a bloom quite like this before. When it began growing at Milford in 2011, it lasted for almost 3 months. It's returned every summer since. The event set state scientists looking for what spurred the blue-green algae, scientifically known as cyanobacteria, and how to stop the return of what is essentially killer pond scum.
Throughout the years, we're trying to figure out what got Milford going, and that seems to be a million-dollar question.
That's Trevor Flynn. He oversees water quality monitoring for the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. Each summer since the bloom at Milford Lake, the department has confirmed cases of toxic blue-green algae in dozens of lakes and ponds across Kansas. The blooms aren't just a nuisance because they look gross. They can get people sick. Common symptoms include diarrhea, vomiting, and hives. And for animals, the blooms have even been deadly.
So that's a real detriment to not only the water quality, but for the enjoyment of the people wanting to use it for recreation.
The culprit is too many nutrients, like nitrogen and phosphorus, that get into the water system when heavy rains wash fertilizer off farm fields. But that's about as much as we know, at least at the moment. About 15 minutes north of Lawrence, down a long dirt road, sits a University of Kansas field station. It's 3,400 acres and includes about 100 man-made ponds and reservoirs. It's at one of these ponds where I meet University of Kansas biologist Ted Harris.
And we'll take a little walk around on both docks here quickly.
He's trying to get algae to grow in several large, round, fiberglass tanks dropped into the middle of the pond. As we walk down one of two narrow docks that reach into the middle of the pond, Harris explains that researchers generally know why blooms happen. But they don't know why some blooms are made up of toxic cyanobacteria and others aren't.
The goal of this is to see if there's any definitive different sorts of nutrients or proportions of nitrogen and phosphorus that lead specifically to toxic blooms.
So for the past 2 weeks, Harris and his team have been adding different combinations of nutrients to the tanks. Some get phosphorus, some get nitrogen, and others get both.
You can see right here on the duct tape, it's got its tank number, but then it's also got three letters. And that's the sort of treatment.
He says when they first started the experiment, the water in the tanks was clear. You could see all the way to the bottom. Now, after 17 days of adding nutrients, algae has started to grow.
And see, here's a control, so no nutrients added to this one. Looks like you can drink that water. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it, but right, it looks, if you look between this one where we've added ammonium and phosphorus, and this one as a control, really big noticeable difference.
What's harder, especially for non-scientists, is telling a dangerous type of algae from something that's harmless.
Is this cyanobacteria here?
This is cyanobacteria here.
Because when I look at it, I'd look at this and go, yeah, that looks like...
Oh, you don't want to get in that. Yeah. And this is a cyanobacteria bloom. And so you can just see a little bit of color differentiation. But if you're the average person, you go, I don't know, it looks like pond scum to me, right? So that's why it's always, if you see big blooms, stay away from them just to be safe.
An experiment about algal blooms of this scale has never been done before. Usually, they take place in a lab inside of a fish tank. It's cheaper, takes less work, and if it fails, you just dump the tank out, clean it, and start all over again. Harris says while small-scale studies are easily repeated, they don't provide the natural sunlight, wind, pollen, and rain that are found in the real world.
This is realistic of what we're going to see if a big inflow event comes with a lot of nitrate, or a lot of ammonia, or a lot of phosphorus, or maybe some combination of those. And this is what would happen in sort of repeated rain events, which is what we get, well, usually, not this year, but usually every spring.
Ultimately, he says if health officials and water managers can better understand what real-world factors cause toxic blooms, they can stop them from happening in the first place. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Brian Grimmett in Lawrence.
The Kansas News Service is a collaboration covering health, education, and politics across the state.